You're listening to the audio message of the Sunday service of The Gathering QC, a local church that meets at 3928 12th Avenue in Moline, Illinois. You can also find us on the web at thegatheringqc.com. Also, really quickly, wanted before we get started, I had several people ask about the water well that The Gathering has been so generous to help us with the Love Hope Project. And I heard as we were gone that they were getting ready to drill it. And I think we got some pictures of, there's the drilling rig that shows up. And there it is. And it is going full board. I don't know if you saw that first picture. That looks like it's wide open. They put it in a spot where it's very accessible. But I do not know how they get that truck back where we were. I'll just say that. It's always death-defying of knowing how someday I'm going to go while they're drilling it so I can see how they get back up to that village. That is the village of Japi. And it will serve about 250 to 300 people that will walk to that spigot every day in order to get clean water. And so we're so excited that you guys have helped to do that. Would you continue to pray for them? This was a community that not only didn't have clean water, they had run out of almost any water. They were going 2.5 miles away to the nearest water hole. And as we got news back that the water well was up and functional, I also asked how Zambia was doing. It is still dry. It's not going to rain for a long time. Food prices have gone up because people's their food is not able to grow. And so now when they go to buy it, food prices are up. So it's a difficult time for them. So would you just pray for the communities that we work in, that the Lord would be gracious to them. But I wanted to show you pictures of the water well in Japi so that we could celebrate together. Thank you so much. And we appreciate your continued giving. We already know where the next water well is going to go. We also got children, 113 of them, that we're sponsoring in school when they start again in September. So we just appreciate your support. Well, we're going to get started on one of the series. It's called Great Books Rarely Opened. And we did that because these are books. We're choosing several books. We've been in the Old Testament so far that you don't normally hear a lot of preaching on. But they've got such a wonderful message that we wanted to bring them out to light and talk about them. We have been talking mostly about the prophets so far. The prophets, sometimes we don't read them. These are the shorter books called the minor prophets. It's not because they had a minor message. It was just usually because they were shorter. And they have this rich, descriptive, poetic, sometimes apocalyptic language that many times we wrestle with trying to understand them. And also, you have to know the context a little bit of what they're talking about in order to kind of get into them. So that's what we've been doing for the last few weeks. And so we're going to talk a little bit about the book of Habakkuk. And there's a few things that you should know about this book. First of all, Habakkuk has a very cool name. Don't you just love saying, you feel like a Hebrew scholar, Habakkuk. We used to call it Habakkuk. You know, you could do all kinds of things with that cool name. How would you like to, you know, mother step on the porch, Habakkuk, you know. So it's got a cool name. Habakkuk's message was also delivered around 600 B.C. That was a very crucial time in Israel's history. They were called, you know, the people of God to serve the Lord and keep the law. And around that time, there was a lot of dysfunction happening in the people of Israel. They had left the law of God. They were kind of doing their own thing. And matter of fact, right after this, a few years after this, was when Babylon was going to start making incursions into Israel, was going to start bringing people into exile. Just a few years later, they were going to come and they were going to literally tear Jerusalem almost completely down and take the people of God into exile. So they were faced with trouble from Assyria to the north. The Babylonians were coming from the east. And Habakkuk has a lot of questions for God. This is the reason I chose. We could go on forever, lots of different books to choose from. But the reason I chose Habakkuk is that it has a little different message and style of what you get from most minor prophets. Most prophets speak emphatically and clearly about what God is doing and what God is up to. They stand and they declare the words of the Lord. Habakkuk is the only minor prophet that comes with the structure of questions and complaints. So that's one of the reasons I love Scripture, is you get a full array of voices. You not only get the prophets that speak, thus saith the Lord, and has a clear word of God, you also get to hear from prophets that don't know what's going on. And that questions God, what are you up to? I like that Scripture tells, that's one of the reasons I love that I believe Scripture tells us the truth, is it just doesn't give us one side of an issue, but it keeps us balanced, that there's clarity many times in our lives. But how many of you also know sometimes there's mystery? Sometimes you can point to really clearly what God is doing and what God is up to, and there's other times we find from the prophet Habakkuk that there's mystery, that it comes in the forms of questions. Instead of him saying, thus saith the Lord, he's saying, God, where are you? And what are you up to? He brings, and we're the kind of people, right, that we like the answers. We like the thus saith the Lord. We tend to shy away from the questions and the difficulties and the trouble of life. We like it when God shows up and says, this is what I'm doing and this is what it's going to be and you're going to be saved and you're, you know, we like the blessing portion, but we don't like the question portion of when we are not quite sure what God is up to. When I was in Arkansas, I was watching a TV and it was a prosperity, health, and wealth pastor, preacher. It's been around for a number of years. And it reminded me of what I was going to speak on. And he was telling us about, you know, if you don't have enough money, just pray. And God wants you to have plenty of money. He wants you to be wealthy. And if you're sick, you shouldn't be sick. God always wants you to be well. So pray and you're going to always be well. That you should prosper. That you there's if you are in trouble, there's no reason for you to be in trouble. God doesn't want you to have trouble in your life. So pray and God will deliver you. And I remember sitting there and looking at this man that's been preaching for a number of years. And I was thinking, man, how old he looks and feeble he looks. And he can sit there and talk about this health and wealth and prosperity, but boy, he's struggling. Is that wrong of me to think that? I'm like, you're aging, dude, like the rest of us. And so, you know, it's one thing to talk about thus saith the Lord and this is what God wants, but it's another thing to realize that we are human and that there are questions. There are things and there are times when we don't know what God is up to, and we don't necessarily have to pretend that we do, and that it's okay to find the mystery and try to discover what God is doing. So that's what Habakkuk is about. So I'm going to read Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Habakkuk 1, verses 1 through 6. It says, the prophecy that Habakkuk the prophet received. How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice, and why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed, and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. Look at the nations and watch, and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told. I am raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwellings not their own. So Habakkuk's first line is questions. Lord, where are you? Why are you not helping? Why are we in such disarray? And then in verse 5 and 6, the Lord says, look and be amazed, for I am doing something. I am raising up the Babylonians. So we find here, first of all, that Habakkuk comes from with a very human perspective, questions and complaints. He comes from a very human perspective, questions and complaints. He has at least four different questions. First one is, God, are you slow? In other words, Lord, how long do I need to sit here and wait for help? It's the question of timing. When you're in the middle of hurt and pain, trial and confusion, Lord, why not now? Why don't deliver me right now? Why are you letting this go on so long? Have you ever been in that place to where you're in the middle of the test, the trial, and it seems like it goes on forever? And your question is, Lord, how long? How long am I going to stay in this uncomfortable place? It's a question of timing. Are you slow to answer? The second one I put is like kind of like, God, are you deaf? How long must I call for help? But you're not even listening. So part of it is about prayers. Lord, are you listening to my hope and prayers? Is my prayer just bouncing off the ceiling? But are you not even listening to the cry of Israel? Are you not listening to the cry of our hearts? You ever been to a place to where you've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed and you wonder if prayers are being heard? The third question is basically, God, are you uncaring? He says in verse 2, I cry out to you violence, but you don't save. He's asking the question if God really cares or not. There's violence all around. And the wondering is, God, did he just set this whole thing in motion and then retreat so that he doesn't care what's happening? Does he just leave good people to fend for themselves? Is he just up there taking a vacation when the rest of Israel seems to be in chaos? And so it's the question of uncaring. God, do you even care? Why do you not step in when you could to bring us, and cease the struggle that we're in? The fourth question is, God, are you unfair? Are you going to tolerate wrong? Justice isn't prevailing here, he says in verses 3 and 4. Literally in verse 3, he says, why do you make me look at injustice? And why are you tolerating wrongdoing? The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. And he's saying, isn't God unfair of you to just let this happen? That injustice and the wicked are hemming us in, but yet you don't step in? Is God siding with evil and chaos? Now, let me just say something about this list of questions. There's at least four questions that he rattles off to God. Pretty severe, would we agree? These are pretty severe accusations that he's throwing at the Lord. These are not just theological questions. These are real life questions. These are questions that, if we were probably honest, maybe have hovered in the back of our minds at certain times. Why is this situation taking so long to change? I've prayed and I've prayed and I've prayed, and nothing is happening. God, I'm sitting here and I've served you for years and years, but yet this hasn't changed. If we were honest, I think we would see that these are not just theological questions. These are real life questions. These are good questions. These are questions we've probably, if you haven't felt them, maybe you will. I remember, we have a great life, but I remember in January of 1978 when I walked into my grandmother's house and my father had just fallen over with a heart attack. And I was the only one there at the house, and I performed CPR as a 16-year-old boy and didn't save him, couldn't save him. And I remember driving to the funeral. I remember the question in my mind. At that point, I had been serving the Lord my whole 16 years, But I remember driving through the little town of Walden, Arkansas, and I remember people going on about their business. And I remember as a young 16-year-old thinking, my dad has just died and people are just going on. And look, they're filling up their tanks at the gas station and someone's walking into the grocery store. I felt like the whole world had stopped. And it felt terribly unfair. I remember 2005, Kathy and I sat into a hospital over in Davenport and had the surgeon walk in and sit down, and it wasn't much pleasantries. He just said, I'm sorry, we've confirmed it, it's breast cancer. And if you hear that kind of news, it's the kind of thing that, it takes weeks to test and try and figure out what we're going to do and hope for the best and pray over. But I remember in that series, and there could be other series, that these are not theological questions, these are real life questions. God, are you not answering my prayer? God, do you not care what's happening? God, are you unfair? We've lived for you. We've given everything we have to you. But yet, here we are. The other thing I want to say about this is that God doesn't scold Habakkuk for the questioning. He answers him, sometimes a little bit shrouded in mystery, but he doesn't ever scold Habakkuk for the human emotion of feeling like this is unfair, this shouldn't be happening, I'm uncomfortable with this, I'm questioning all this. He never scolds Habakkuk for that, but instead he comes in and gives him faith and hope for how to proceed. Maybe you're sitting here today and you know, as I said, maybe Habakkuk is the prophet that's speaking to you today. Maybe you've got issues in your life that these are the questions you've been asking for a long time. And I want to just tell you that it's okay on a human level to say, God, where are you? I'm struggling. I need your help. I'm hanging on to the rope as hard as I can hang on. But from a human perspective, I've got a lot of questions. I've even got a lot of complaints about why things turn out the way that they do. But the Lord does answer. I titled this Divine Surprises and Long View Plans. You see, God is at work, but sometimes he surprises us. He goes on in starting with verse 5, he says, Lord, what are you doing? The Lord says, look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you will not even believe, even if you were told. I'm raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwellings not their own. He goes on. God says, these are feared and dreaded people. They are a law to themselves, and they promote their own honor. Their horses are swifter than leopards and fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their cavalry gallops headlong, and their horsemen come from afar. They mock kings and scoff at rulers. They laugh at fortified cities, and they sweep past as the wind, and they go on. They're a guilty people, whose own strength is their God. God is saying, I see what's happening. For this moment, I'm taking my hands off of Israel and letting this history play out. And these ruthless Babylonians, I'm going to allow them to sweep through in order that hopefully we'll get your act together. But here's the response, is that God does see what's happening. God does care what is happening. And God is acting. Many times it is behind the scenes, but God is already at work. He knows where the people of God are. He knows that they need discipline. And he knows that the discipline is not going to be pleasant. But he does see and he does care and he is acting. I'm so glad to know that even in the midst of all my questions and even sometimes in the midst of my complaints, we do have a God that sees and that cares, and that is acting. It may be behind the scenes. The second thing I want to say about that is that God many times responds differently than we expect. This was not what Habakkuk was expecting. He says the Babylonians are coming, and that they were going to have to go through this. They're not immediately going to be spared from this plunder that the Babylonians are going to do. This is going to be a time of discipline for Israel. This is the time to live in the mystery of God. God does see, act, and care, but there are times when we walk through the mystery of God where all the questions are not answered, all the easy stuff is not there in front of us, and it becomes hard. It becomes the way of walking by faith. But God comes at times and surprises. I also call it the long view. Notice the Lord says that the Babylonians are going to come. He does go on later in the book and said, yes, the Babylonians are a ruthless people, and guess what? They're going to be judged too. And then after they get judged, if you repent, I'm going to bring you up, I'm going to restore you. So in other words, Habakkuk wanted an immediate response, but God takes a long plan view. Doesn't that just aggravate you? God sees a longer plan and a bigger plan than we do. I was talking actually with a parent. I don't think they're here today. With a parent that was talking about a teenager. And they were going through a phase we pray. That's what it is, a phase. And I actually used this terminology. I said, as parents, you have to take the long-term view. You've been around a lot longer than they have. You know that this is a phase. So don't take it all personal. Don't think that this is the way they're going to be for the rest of their life. Take it for what it is. Take the long-term view and realize that in most cases, they're going to grow up and mature, and they're going to know better, but it may take a few years. And that's what helped me to apply it to God taking the long-term plan. Habakkuk wanted immediate response, wanted God to deliver them, wanted it to turn out, wanted to be restored to the place of comfort and prosperity. And God has to take the long-term view and says, that's not what is ready for you. You're going to need a time of discipline and restoration, and then you're going to be restored. You see, God is a God sometimes of mystery that allows us to walk through those hard places of mystery and sometimes lets us walk there for a while so that our faith will grow. He takes a long view many times, and he calls us to walk in faith. And that's what I call the final response, and that's the faith response of hope and praise. In chapter 1, verse 13, Habakkuk, when God tells him, I'm going to raise up the Babylonians, these ruthless people, and they're going to come, and they're going to sweep over you. Habakkuk says, he even tries again. He brings up another question, as if, it's almost as if, God, I knew you were a comedian. You're being funny, right? This isn't really what you said. Habakkuk says, oh, God, your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You can't tolerate wrong. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow us up? In other words, he's saying, you've got to be joking, right? This isn't really your response. And then God goes on and says, no, the Babylonians are coming. You are going to have to go through this. This is a time of discipline. You're not going to be delivered immediately. The Babylonians are going to come and they're going to have the upper hand for a while. But then he goes on and says, be patient and be faithful, because a day of restoration will come. Matter of fact, this is how it plays out. Habakkuk 2 says this. Habakkuk says, I will stand on my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me, what God will say, and what answer he will give me to this complaint. So he's still not giving up. He's like, no. He's like, Lord, I've raised a complaint. You can't do this. Those Babylonians are worse than we are. How can you do this? And then this is what verse 2 says. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation, make it plain on the tablet so that a herald can run with it, for the revelation awaits appointed time. See, there's still mystery. He's saying, Habakkuk, don't try to figure it all out. It speaks of the end. It will not provide false. Though it will linger, wait for it. It will certainly come. It will not delay. The enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright. But get this, his desires are not upright of Babylonians. But he says, but the righteous one will live by his faith. That's the line right there. God says, no, Babylonians are coming. No, I know they're ruthless people. No, I know this is a difficult time. No, I know this is going to be hard for Israel. I know that Babylon's puffed up and they're not upright. But the righteous person is going to live by faith. Wow. That line is kind of tucked away in there, but that's the line that New Testament writers pick up over and over again, that the righteous will live by their faithfulness. In other words, even when there are more questions than there are answers, when there's complaints and not favor, when you're living in the mystery of God, what do? You live. You live. You keep living faithfully. Even if the questions are not fully answered, even if you're walking into the mystery of God and you don't know exactly when the answer is coming, how the answer is coming, you know that God is full of surprises, but yet God says, just wait patiently for it. There will be a day of restoration, but until then, what do? You live. You live in faith. That no matter what the issue God has brought into your life, that you can be faithful and that he will walk with you. The righteous will live by faith. Habakkuk's final response and prayer is this. Finally, the third chapter, Habakkuk calms down, takes a deep breath, and this is what he says. I heard and my heart pounded, and my lips quivered at the sound, and decay crept in my bones, and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for this day of calamity to come upon the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there is no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength, and he makes my feet like the feet of a deer that enables me to tread on to the heights. Wow. He feels the decay. He feels his legs quivering. He feels his heart pounding at what he's just heard. But still, his declaration is still, I can walk by faith. I can still have the joy of the Lord because I know that the sovereign Lord will be my strength. And like a deer, he will make me be able to climb on the mountains of adversity that is lying in front of me and to go down into the valleys of despair. And like the feet of a deer, he'll let me to climb on top and declare that the Lord is my strength. Life requires faith and hope. Life isn't easy. Sometimes we don't know what God is doing. Sometimes we don't understand the mystery that we're walking in. But God is there. He does see. He does respond. God's timing is not our timing. God's way of growing us is not always the way we would like to grow. Be faithful. Be patient. Be joyful. Because God always takes the long view and that he will get the final word. He will come and be victorious in your life as the righteous live by faith. Dean, if you could come up and just play something softly, and we're going to take just a few moments and just listen to the Spirit speak to us today. Someone jokingly came up in the lobby, said, I came today, I hear you've got a great inspirational message for us. I'm like, uh-oh, no, it's a little bit of mystery, a little bit of... But going back to what I said earlier, but it is the Word of God, isn't it? Is that the Word of God doesn't say that all of our problems melt away immediately and that we live in the land of glory from every moment to every moment. Scripture does put these books, these chapters in here to help us to realize that in our human condition, not all life works the way we wish it would work at every given moment. That there is mystery. There is death. There is diagnoses that you wish you didn't hear. There is struggle. There is drought. There is fear. And the Word of God tells us the truth, that shouldn't lead us to despair, but instead it should lead us to faith, that God is a God that takes a long-term view. And though we may not be able to focus in exactly at what God is up to at any given moment, we know that if we step back far enough and long enough and try to see it from God's perspective, we see that he's got the whole world in his hands. See, I've got a granddaughter. I'm reverting back to kids' songs, right? But that's a pretty good one. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got it. So even though we may not know the fix that we wish we had today, we do know that the Lord can be our strength and that the righteous will live by faith.